And now let us pray together our prayer for illumination. O Lord, our God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love, that we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this Lord's Day is found in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 10. Listen for God's word. Paul is speaking. It is necessary to boast, he says. Nothing is to be gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that we are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This morning, I want to talk with you about our weaknesses, our handicaps, and our limitations. Some people may appear not to have any, but I have never gotten to know anyone really well who was not struggling with some handicap, weakness, or limitation. And how we cope with our weaknesses particularly affects our spiritual life. But first, you need a little background. When we meet the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, he is boasting about himself. And indeed, he had a lot to boast about. By virtue of his family and training, he was exclusive and proud. He was an Israelite, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and a proud Pharisee. He had social status and background. And in addition to facing incredible obstacles and overwhelming odds in his ministry, he had amazing visions and revelations. Perhaps Paul felt that he had to make a case for himself to those Corinthians because some of them even thought that he shouldn't be an apostle in the first place. Paul said, "Therefore, To keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So the great apostle himself had a thorn in the flesh, a weak spot, a handicap, a limitation, and it tormented him. Now, isn't that the way life is? We usually have some things we can be very proud of about ourselves, yet we all have that thorn in the flesh that bothers us or makes us feel limited or ashamed or frustrated. That thorn, looked at broadly, can be something that is social, physical, or personal. Here's a boy, for example, who is ashamed to look in the mirror because he doesn't like something about his appearance. There's a couple who may never invite company to their home because they are ashamed of their meager surroundings. A businessman may hesitate to tell you what his job is because he perceives it to be at the low end of the totem pole. Now, no one knows what Paul's thorn in the flesh really was. Their guesses range from poor eyesight to malaria. Someone even guessed that it was his wife. But it really doesn't matter what it was. What we want to do is to learn how to handle our thorn and hear God say to us, as he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Maybe it would help us right here initially to see how not to deal with a thorn. Isn't our first instinct perhaps to rebel and moan and groan and say, "If I just didn't have this handicap, look what I could do in the world." So we dwell on that weakness and feel sorry for ourselves. How many young people cry themselves to sleep every night? And how many adults complain bitterly about their limitations? But self-pity only makes a thorn worse. Boasting is another strategy we use to hide our thorns. And so we try to impress others with who we are and what we have done and what we have. In that way, somehow we think it's going to keep others from noticing our weaknesses. And that doesn't work either. Others soon catch on to us and say to themselves, as soon as we start boasting, "There he goes again." Yet another strategy is to try to wear ourselves out trying to change a thorn that cannot be changed. Some thorns we are just stuck with. Pun intended, I'll be honest with you. Paul himself went to the Lord 3 times about his thorn and asked the Lord to remove it. And 3 times the Lord gave him the same answer: "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." Wasn't God telling him, "I will not take your thorn away, but I will give you the power to cope with it"? His thorn was something that could not be changed. So would you like to follow a better approach toward that thorn that plagues you and lay hold really on the grace of God? If so, there's hope. Like you, like Paul, you can find strength in God's grace. Of course, your thorn may remain, but your life in the meantime can become a witness to the power of God. You can become all that God intends for you to be. The secret is to learn to accept yourself as you are, thorn and all. Certainly it's all right to ask God to remove it. Paul even did that. And surely we ought to see if the thorn is something that can be changed. Yet, somewhere down the line, if you have a permanent weakness, handicap, or limitation that cannot be changed, you have to learn to accept yourself as you are and begin right there. And ultimately, such acceptance comes from God Himself. I pray that through your family of origin, you will hear God saying that you are accepted. Through your church family, God is always saying you are accepted. And through Jesus Christ, God is saying to every one of us, you are accepted. Thus, your starting point in dealing with a thorn is to accept yourself as you are. For God says to you in the gospel, you are accepted. So that's where we begin. Have you heard that classic story about the oyster? I've embellished it just a bit. Now, the oyster really has the same problem you and I do. One day, the oyster wakes up to find that a grain of sand has made itself at home in its shell. That grain of sand is painful and is quite a problem. But the oyster, try as it will, cannot get rid of it. It can rebel and say, why in the name of marine biology did this have to happen to me? Of all the oysters in Virginia waters, why me? Or the oyster can start boasting so that the other oysters will not see its weakness, saying, I am the greatest oyster in the Chesapeake Bay. Or the oyster can pity itself and moan and groan every day about its wretched lot in life. Or it can spend the rest of its life trying to push that grain of sand out of its shell, all of which would be a fruitless battle. Instead, what does the oyster do? It accepts the fact that the grain of sand is there. Then it goes to work with what it has and works away slowly and carefully. And over a long period of time, it turns that grain of sand into a pearl. Thus, the thorn in the flesh becomes a pearl of great price. On a human level, that's what you and I must do. Ask God to help you work with who you are and what you have. Ask for divine strength to help you turn your thorn into a pearl. Still, it's so hard for us to begin with ourselves and say, I am responsible for myself alone. Now, of course, we are our brother's keeper, our sister's too. But part of our trouble lies in the fact that we keep on comparing ourselves to others, wishing to be who they are or to be able to do what they can do. When we keep on doing that, our weaknesses look like mountains, and we are tempted to do nothing. But God hasn't made you responsible for someone else's life, only for yours. You can't do anything helpful about your thorn in the flesh as long as you keep dwelling on the strengths of everybody else. Always remember that your weaknesses are God's opportunity. Some of you may be familiar with one of our poets, Ralph Waldo Emerson, poet, essayist, and philosopher. Do you remember what Emerson's squirrel said to the mountain? It said, if I cannot carry a forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. So take charge of your own life in that spirit. When you accept yourself as you are, no matter how limited you are, you can make a contribution to the world. And actually, the more limited you are, the greater potentially your contribution is to the world. That's because there's nothing more inspiring than someone who is dealing heroically with a handicap. Years ago in Atlanta, I used to jog around a certain school playground every afternoon. One day, I noticed a young boy there riding a bike. You ask, so what? Lots of people ride bikes. Well, that boy had no hands, and yet he had learned to ride a bike. One other day, I saw him catch a football. That's right. He caught the football between his chin and his chest. There he was, overcoming a terrific obstacle in the most dramatic way you can imagine. And I think it really inspired me to run a little harder that day. Many of you will remember Pastor Joe Palakafau, who recently served as our interim pastor. In 2012, he wrote a book, and he named it An Unthinkable Marriage, because you may remember that Pastor Joe grew up in India, and he was a Roman Catholic priest by profession, and he married a former nun after he left the priesthood. Often, as you will recall, Pastor Joe used to say how frequently he talked to Jesus about his problems. I can hear him now. He said Jesus revealed this to him one day. Whether you know it or not, both consciously and unconsciously, you compare yourself with others, but especially with your older brother. You were brought up in a culture that was contaminated by negative and destructive comparisons. Pastor Joe said, in looking back at his life, he did compare himself frequently with others, especially his older brother, who did not get into trouble the way he did. He said that to a degree he admired him, but he also hated him. He confessed to the Lord that he was contaminated by comparisons and wanted to be healed of it. He said, slowly the Lord taught me that the perfect antidote for comparison contamination was praise. I needed to learn to praise God for the uniqueness of each individual and for the purposes for which God created and sustained everyone. Jesus taught me to praise him for all of the qualities he had given me and for the help he had provided me to grow those characteristics. In the same way, he taught me to praise God for other people and their achievements and successes. So there was Pastor Joe, inflicted with what he called comparison contamination. But God used his weakness to minister to so many of us through the years. Your thorn in the flesh may give you greater compassion and understanding of others. So I ask you, what are you doing this morning about your thorn in the flesh? Yes, there may be times, many times, when you despise that thorn. But you don't have to fight this battle alone. The same God who strengthened Paul will help you. For God is with you in spite of your thorns, in spite of your handicaps. For God accepts you as you are, and God promises you, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.